Early voting has begun, and polls are indicating it's not looking good for Democrats in swing states.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo, host of the show today. I'm going to ask you to give us a call right now at 1-800-684-3110. Early voting has begun in the state of Georgia as well as other states. And of course, Georgia is one of the big swing states. For here in Tennessee, starts tomorrow. So I have a question for you, and I know it's oddly controversial after the last election. We had some debate about it yesterday at the end of the show. But I'm going to give you this opportunity as well as people start to tune in, to start to log on, whether they're on YouTube, whether you're on Rumble, whether you listen on terrestrial radio, Sirius XM. You can call us in live. If it is, you know, we do this show live each and every day from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. You can work your way back from wherever you are. So hopefully you're watching or listening live right now. Give me a call if you plan or tell me your plan to early vote or not. I want to know, what have you decided to do in your area? We know it was kind of controversial in 2020 because of the mail-in scenarios and all that came after that. But now we've returned a bit back to normal. I want to know, what are you going to plan to do? Give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. If you're in the state of Georgia, even better, as again, Georgia, one of those big swing states that opened up today. Georgia, as we know, historically has voted Republican in all but two of the last elections in the last four decades as for president. And the last time was Bill Clinton. And then, of course, Joe Biden took Georgia for the first time in a very long time. Obviously, a lot of that has to do with Atlanta. If you look at that, there's always a blue dot and a big sea of red. That's what it's like in Atlanta. Look, where we are in Tennessee, it's like Nashville or Memphis. There are blue dots and primarily red states. Now, for a place like Tennessee, likely those still go red. They still are Republican centered. Georgia's a little bit different because have so many people live in Atlanta. And so much has changed in Atlanta in terms of Hollywood moving in and everything happening that you have a total shift in really the landscape of Georgia. And so many people have left. I'm going to say this. I think a lot of you have something to say because our phone lines have completely jammed in 3 minutes. So let's screen those calls if we can, as quick as we can. I want to get to hear from a lot of you later on in the broadcast. Rick Grinnell's going to be joining us. That's just in the next segment. So he's going to be talking about some of the early voting, what's happening right now, the dead heat polls that are coming out of some of these swing states as well as nationally right now, as we have seen some momentum shift. Now, was that shift a pro-Trump shift? Some of them. But what we've really seen is sort of a slowdown in Harris excitement. Now, what does that mean? How's it shakes out? Rick Grinnell would be a great person to comment that on that. We're also going to be talking later on in the broadcast, one of our ACLJ attorneys, Ben Sisney, who currently just stepped out of oral argument on that O'Boyle whistleblower case. You've heard about that. We're going to talk more about that with him as it just happened. It was happening while we were prepping this show. We weren't sure if we were able to get him on or not, if the oral arguments would have ended. They have just ended, so we're going to be joined with him live. And look, we need your help when those kind of situations occur. You hear these cases. Again, we're in the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals today. That's one step before the Supreme Court of the United States. And we have seen, obviously, government corruption has run amok. And we've even seen the U.S. Army targeting pro-life groups, labeling them terrorists. We have seen all of these whistleblowers come out. And today, again, representing Agent O'Boyle, who helped expose much of this corruption, we are in the last few weeks before a big election. There could not be a time that's more important right now than to support the work of the ACLJ. I know financially times are tough. If you can't do it, I understand. If you can, though, do it right now. Become either an ACLJ one-time supporter or an ACLJ champion. That's someone that gives on a monthly recurring basis. I'm going to encourage you to do that. And if right now you cannot give, I totally understand. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Whether you're on YouTube or Rumble or however you're following us right now, whatever that platform is, go on all of them. Subscribe to the ACLJ channels. Be a part of it. Follow and share this show. It's absolutely free for you, and it helps us out tremendously as we are growing close to, just on YouTube, nearly 440,000 subscribers. Help us get over some of those marks. Help us get this show into more people's hands. We'll be right back. Seculo. I told you to call in, and a lot of you did. So we're going to go ahead and start off by taking some of these calls. Early voting, as we said, has begun in the state of Georgia, as well as many other states. Here tomorrow in Tennessee, it opens up. And look, Georgia's my original home state. I got a few home states. You've probably been like, Logan, I've heard you claim Florida. I've heard you claim Tennessee. I've heard you claim Georgia. These are all places I grew up. Virginia, New York. I spent a lot of time kind of up and down the East Coast. But Georgia's where I was born. It's where I first voted. My first two presidential elections, I believe I voted in the state of Georgia, at least the first one. So I'm very familiar with that scenario. I'm very familiar with that state. It's different than, you know, when I visit now, it's definitely different than the state I left when I was 15 years old, but it's still there. We got a lot of calls coming in from all over the country. We're going to first start off with Michael, who's calling in the state of Florida. One of my favorite states, home state of Florida, who is an ACLJ champion. And again, that's someone who gives on a monthly recurring basis. And one of the little perks I offer, it's not like in the, you know, the agreement, I just do this, which is if you tell our phone screener you're a champion, you get bumped up to the top of the list when it comes to calling in. So you may not be on hold the longest, but I'll put you up first because you are showing your monthly support. So Michael, I appreciate it. Go ahead with your comment.
Thank you. I'm usually the voter that votes election day, but this time I'm voting early and I'm taking my kids, their wives, and we have probably 15 to 18 people coming with us early voting.
I think that's a good plan. I plan on early voting this year. I've kind of gone back and forth. I like that. I know a lot of people like the electricity on election day. That's sort of fun to go and experience it. Because it is a little like, you know, it's an American tradition to go on election day, vote, and get your sticker and all that. You know, if I get my sticker tomorrow, I'm walking around going, okay, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to hold on to this thing for 2.5 weeks? But I think Michael is right, which is they're telling everyone to go vote early. You never know what's going to happen. He's in the state of Florida. We know the hurricane season is happening. We've seen what's happened in North Carolina. You never know what could stop you from being there on election day. Traffic, 4-hour lines. You know, people have very busy lives. Stuff gets in the way. So as much as it is important to go vote, it is more important to make sure that you have the opportunity to vote. Like I said, early voting opens tomorrow here in the state of Tennessee. Do I think I'm going to vote tomorrow? Probably not. But will I try to do it before, you know, we get to election day? Yeah, absolutely. And I think there are some of those rules in here. It says, I'll pull those up, where you can at least vote for the next 16 days in the state of Georgia, with some counties even offering an extra voting day on Sunday, November 1st. And of course, the following Tuesday, a week from then, we will have the general election. And it's going to be crazy and it's going to get wild. And what I really hope and pray is that we have some answers fairly quickly, that this isn't another situation where we're 2 or 3 months from now still talking about it. But it very well might be. You know, I think after 2020, all bets are off. And of course, we all, if you were there, if you remember, you know, I deal with a lot of students now, so that they weren't there for it because they're all in their early 20s. But you may remember, you know, the Bush-Gore years or the Bush-Gore election, and that also strung on for weeks and weeks. I think we romanticize a little bit these years where there was definitive victors, when there was a Obama or there was a George W. Bush. Those elections, or George W. Bush the second time, we kind of forget that obviously with Trump and Clinton, there was issues. With Trump and Biden, there was issues. There's issues, a lot of issues with Bush and Gore. And I'm sure historically, if you go back even further, there were times when it was like this. It's not that uncommon. But what I'm hoping for, just for the sanity of the country, is that we have some answers on election night, though I'm not going to be shocked if this goes weeks and weeks. But unfortunately, and it feels like technology and everything should move forward where we don't have to do it. Let's continue on with some of these phone calls. Let's see who we're going to go to next. Let's go to Karen in California. California's been an interesting state recently because you have President Trump making stops there, historic stops, as again, a state that likely is not going to end up voting for President Trump. But he knows also there's a lot of areas, a lot of red areas, where down ballot, that's important. You want to have support out there in California. And we obviously know that it's a Democratic stronghold, so you don't necessarily always hear from that candidate as well. But Karen, you're on the air.
Hi there. So I was told to go ahead and take my ballot that I get mailed in the mail straight to the voting polls and go ahead and surrender them there and then do a new one right there and put it into the machine right away. What happened to a friend of mine and her husband, who happened to be Republican, but anyway, they had signed theirs. They had taken it. She had taken it to the clerks, put it in the mailbox, and it came back later that they were disqualified because their signatures did not match.
Didn't match. Yeah, I think, Karen, we hear that a lot, actually, with the mail-in voting and with even absentee voting, which is once they actually go through the process of doing it, a lot of ballots are thrown out because signatures don't match on your ID. And look, I can tell you, like, my driver's license signature, I think I did when I was, you know, here in the state of Tennessee, like when I was 18. You know, I'm now 38, 39 almost. It's not like my signature hasn't evolved over the years. So I would suggest that, you know, I don't know about the mail-in situation in California. It seems like it's getting crazier, as we know that even members of our staff who have moved here, who have made the big exit of California and moved to Tennessee, we're getting their mail-in ballots sent to them, even here in Tennessee, from the state of California. So I'm not sure the rules and regulations there, but I do think that early voting is good. The absentee and the mail-in, a lot of times, especially with those absentee votes, they don't get counted till much later, and often only if necessary. I mean, inevitably they will, but sometimes they are, you know, it sounds sad to say, but they become inconsequential as the election has been decided and far from over or far over. So if you do have the opportunity to vote in person, but you can vote early, that's something that we obviously encourage here, regardless of who you're voting for, whether you're voting for Trump, whether you're voting for Harris, whether you're voting for a third party, you know, but that is the way to make sure hopefully your vote is counted properly. Let's continue on. We'll take another. We got a lot of these calls. And if you want to, we now have three lines open. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to be talking about also in the next segment a recent situation where another big group has decided to forego a presidential endorsement. Okay, we know that we've seen some things like the unions. Maybe they've supported President Trump or they've decided to not throw their hat behind the Democrats this time. Well, there's another big group, and it's maybe unexpected. And we'll talk about that one coming up in the next segment. Our producer, Allie, here just told me the Georgia Secretary of State, as of 9:30 this morning, already said 72,000 people have already voted in the state. Of course, we're sure that's more now. That's probably crested over 100,000. Reports are that people are waiting 40 minutes to an hour in line to vote today. That is early voting day. That's pretty wild. You know, I don't anticipate that to stay that way, but for right now, people are going to do it. Let's continue on with some of these calls. Let's go to Robin in Nevada. Robin, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Me and my husband, we always early vote. We always walk to the place and walk in. We do it every season, every voting season.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to do it. And I like some people like, hey, we bring our kids to do that. You know, some area school gets out, probably some public schools that are used as polling places. If you have the opportunity to take your kids, I always enjoyed that as a kid to go and to learn. They used to have setups where you could even like pretend to vote in the corner. I don't think they still do that anymore. It's much more efficient. This was when it was still paper ballots and you would go and they'd even taught you how to do it. Like, here's how you punch out the spot or here's how you fill in the, you know, those are things that we're losing a little bit in America, especially when educating our children. And I know things are going to change. Obviously, it's changed dramatically since I was a kid when it started as paper ballots moved to digital. Most of my voting life has been digital now. But I do think there is still should be that education of here's what we're doing. Here's why it's important. Teach your kids, your grandkids. Here's why we do this. How you decide who you're going to vote for. We used to do kids pick the president. We used to do that at school. They used to do that on Nickelodeon. They still may. When I worked there, they were doing kids pick the president. And they didn't always, a lot of times it did because your parents influenced who you'd vote for, but it didn't always end up being the person who won. Always pretty interesting. I think we need to do that. Keep educating. One of the things we put out 4 years ago was a puppet video on our Bald Beagle YouTube channel, which is for children. It's a kids YouTube American history and social studies kind of channel that we have on there. Some great content that we produced. And one of them is a long form video of why the Electoral College is important. If we have time today, I may run that. Because you may have heard recently in the news, people like Tim Walz and other people saying, hey, I think it's time we need to go to popular vote, abolish the Electoral College. The Harris campaign was like, well, we didn't say that, but he said it. And we think it's a good reminder, not just for your kids, maybe for you as well, of why we don't live in a country where it's all dictated by popular vote, because you want to be represented across the country. We only got about a minute left in this segment. In the next segment, we'll take some more calls at 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. And we're going to talk about that PAC that decided no endorsement. Now, the reason they decided no endorsement may shock you, may not. It's not necessarily positive, I'll say that. It's one that I hopefully you disagree with their position. But you know what? It doesn't help the talking points that the Democrats have been pushing. And they're not necessarily their... well, I'll just tease it. I'm just going to leave it at that. Just going to leave it at that. We're also going to hear from one of our ACLJ attorneys, I believe coming up in the next segment as well, Ben Sisney, who just got out of court. The oral argument just finished on that big FBI whistleblower case. Again, that was in the D.C. Court of Appeals, one step away from the Supreme Court of the United States. We're going to talk to him when we get back. We can't do that kind of work or this broadcast without your support. So right now, as you hear this and you go, hey, this is really representing my point of view. This is really people who are taking initiative for us. I'm going to ask you to go become an ACLJ champion. You can do that for as little as $5 a month. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm going to encourage you to keep calling 1-800-684-3110. If you're on hold, whether you're James, Richard, Lewis, or Pauline, stay on hold. We're going to get to you coming up in the next segment, so stay tuned. We also have a couple lines open. We are now joined, though, live from Benjamin Sisney, Senior Counsel for Litigation and Public Policy at the ACLJ, who just, I mean, minutes ago, stepped out of court, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. Ben, a lot of people have heard the story, Garrett O'Boyle. We've talked about it many times here, but maybe give a brief background on this case and then what happened today.
I'm glad to be on, and forgive me if you hear street noise in the background. As you mentioned, we just got out of court. But basically, in a nutshell, Garrett O'Boyle was an FBI special agent that made protected disclosures to Congress, whistleblowing, and that's protected by the law. And then over the course of a year, but then the FBI suspended his security clearance and then suspended his employment, and basically has left him in limbo ever since, I think going on about 2 years. And the journey to try to get a remedy, to get a day in court, to really let all of his arguments be heard, the constitutional violations and the things that have happened to him, has been way more difficult than it should have been. That's part of the case that we presented today. And basically the whole point of this is to get him his day in court to where his constitutional arguments can be heard. There's some challenges that I won't go too far into onto some of the statutory issues, but the jurisprudence and the case law make pretty clear in our view that he ought to be able to have his constitutional claims heard by an Article III court. And that's what we were at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit asking for and arguing for today.
And this is why it's important to have members of the ACLJ team always listening, always watching what's happening right now, because we got involved in these whistleblower cases very early. And again, as you said, these processes are not fast, unfortunately. Unfortunately, we live in a society where it's not always just. And we live in a society where things don't move as fast as you'd like. Of course, sometimes they'll move fast when they need to, but in this situation, sometimes it takes a few years to get it done. And we have a bite. I want to throw this back to Garrett O'Boyle. This was, I guess, one of his hearings, initial hearings. And of course, again, FBI whistleblower who was really stripped of his freedoms, if you will. So take a listen.
All of the hardships you've gone through. If one of your really good friends, your former colleagues, came to you and said, I have this thing that is being covered up, and I think the American people need to know about it. What advice would you give them?
I would tell them first to pray about it long and hard. And I would tell them I could take it to Congress for them, or I could put them in touch with Congress, but I would advise them not to do it.
So you would legitimately try to protect one of your colleagues from doing what you have done?
Absolutely.
And how do you think that solves being able to shine light on corruption, weaponization, any kind of misconduct that exists with the American people?
It doesn't solve it. But the FBI will crush you. This government will crush you and your family if you try to expose the truth about things that they are doing that are wrong. And we are all examples of that.
I can't think of a more sobering way to end a hearing. I yield back.
Sort of a sad state of affairs, but Ben, that is why the ACLJ is there, and that's why we're able to represent people like Garrett O'Boyle and a group of FBI whistleblowers, because in their situation, of course, we're doing this for the ACLJ, and we're doing this at no cost for people like O'Boyle, wherein you have a lot of their livelihood stripped away, often for years.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Logan. And also, I would just add to that, I mean, you know, to play that quote of his there, talking about his family, he and his wife were with us today in court. And just to you know, these cases aren't in a vacuum. They're not just some name on a shelf in a book or a folder or something somewhere on a file saved on your computer. Like, these are real people. These are real Americans who really, I mean, all, like our clients, the kind of work we get to do, like all of our clients are heroes in some way. But here in this particular case, Garrett, his wife, what they've gone through and the sacrifices they've made based on their convictions and beliefs is humbling. I mean, I could get emotional if I think about it too much. But being with them in court and getting to stand with them and for them and speaking for them, it was a moment that was not lost on us. I'll put it that way.
Absolutely, Ben. We appreciate that. Last, before we let you go, so what's the next step here for those who are following this case? Obviously, you were today, like I said, doing your oral arguments at the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. What comes next?
That's a great question, and it's going to depend on how things shake out, for sure. And there's procedural routes, depending on how the court rules. You know, and it's something to keep in mind is we prevail today, his case is not over. He just gets to actually have a real day in court, right? And so, which he's been denied so far. So that would be one possibility. The other possibility is that the court could transfer it over to a different circuit. And then, of course, if we don't prevail, we'd be looking at next level appeal options. And it could be, I mean, it's anybody's guess the time frame that we're talking about before we get a ruling from this court. Really could be anything.
That is why our team is always on board. And that is why, look, when I talk about supporting the work of the ACLJ, and Ben, I know you got to get going. You're spending your time there, so I'll let you go. But that's why when I spend time talking about supporting the ACLJ, it's not just me doing some fundraiser pitch or me doing, you know, some sort of pitch where it's like, come on, we need your support. And I'm not giving you any real facts of why. We obviously pay Ben. We pay an incredible ACLJ team of lawyers. We pay an incredible team of ACLJ media team. None of this happens alone. It doesn't, as he said, none of it happens in a vacuum. And I want your voice to be loud. And I want it to be presented the best possible way. So I want the best of the best. I want the best lawyers we can hire. I want the best media team we can. If we're putting together a documentary, I want it to be incredible. If we're putting together a broadcast every day, I want it to be incredible. If I'm putting together a legal case, if I'm working with our team to make sure that we're able to do this, we're working on this campaign right now that is going to be rolling out. You heard us talk about it. That was inspired by my trip to Massachusetts when I was there and I saw this horrifying campaign the state of Massachusetts is running. I've seen the visuals of what we're going to be presenting, and they are incredible. And we can't do that without your support, because we're here to represent you. As much as it sounds like, you know, we're big and everything is this, you know, big organization with this top-notch broadcast and top-notch legal, understand, while that may be true, the entire organization, not just the bread and butter of the organization, the entire organization is built on the backbone of individual donors and ACLJ champions. And those people give an average of, you know, $40, $60, $80. Obviously, we'd love for you to give as much as you can. But understand that no gift is too small. That's why I say you become an ACLJ champion. We decided to create ACLJ champions, people that give on a monthly recurring basis. That title goes for you if you give $5 a month or if you give $500 a month. It does not matter, because you are standing up and saying, I am dedicating my resources to this and to this organization, and know how much we appreciate it. And like I've said, if you're watching online, I'm going to encourage you. If you can't give financially, I totally understand. It is a tough time out there. But here's what you can do. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up and hit that subscribe. It sounds silly. You're probably like, my kids say that, my grandkids say that, but you have no idea how much it helps to get us into people's algorithms so they see it. If you're on Rumble, same thing. Hit that follow or subscribe. Facebook, whatever it is, follow on all of those options. It's free and it helps us out tremendously. And comment. And I've always said, if you don't know what to comment, tell me where you're watching from. Because the more comments, the more engagement, the more people will see this show. So right now, if we're going to break, we're going to go to break. We have a half hour coming up, second half hour. If you get us on your local radio station, you may not get a second half hour. But live, we broadcast this show every day from 12 to 1 p.m. 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. You work your way back. We do that live. And of course, you can catch it on later on the ACLJ podcast feeds or on ACLJ.org. But while we're in this short, less than 1 minute break, I'm going to ask you to just tell me where you're watching from. And if you're an old school YouTube viewer, we haven't done this since the summer, Send in the clowns. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. I told you it was a short break, so short that I was going through my notes and trying to figure out what we're going to talk about next. And of course, I teased out earlier, we're going to talk about this a little bit later on in the next segment. We're going to be joined by Jeff Balaban, who runs ACLJ Jerusalem. And you say, Logan, why is it, I've heard you have the European Center for Law and Justice, the ECLJ, why is it different? Because we want to represent America in Jerusalem. When we even decided to found this, we were talking with our friends in Israel, and they go, no, we want it to be the ACLJ Jerusalem. And ACLJ Israel. So we'll continue that conversation going on. There's also some moments happening in the podcast world as Vice President Harris and former President Trump have both teased an appearance on the Joe Rogan Experience, obviously the biggest podcast on the planet. What's that going to look like? Joe Rogan, obviously known for doing multiple hour conversations with a lot of our friends like Tulsi Gabbard, who have been on that show many, many times. And I'm sure a lot of you are fans or at least are supporters of his show. He definitely always has an interesting perspective. We have seen now President Trump make the rounds and sort of the Rogan outside, not necessarily Rogan's main show, but we've seen, a lot of these other podcasts he's appeared on, Theo Von and Bussin' with the Boys and all of these that he's shown up on, Impulsive with Logan Paul, younger, podcasts aimed at a younger audience. Now, Rogan's actually a little bit older of an audience, so I'm interested to see how that's going to go. We're going to continue that conversation as well. One of the things I wanted to bring up, and I'm going to bring it up with Jeff Balaban a little bit later, is again, you may have been saying, I see in the comments also saying, what about that big non-endorsement? What was that? Well, this came from the Arab American PAC in Michigan, and they announced that they will not be supporting Vice President Harris or Donald Trump. And why? Of course, because of their stance on Israel. Because as much as the Harris administration, future potentially, I'll call it that now, why not? The Harris administration, because it's not really the Biden administration anymore, Harris wants to distance themselves from Israel. They've also found themselves in a weird situation where they're trying to both make sure their Jewish base is happy, who traditionally votes blue, while also making sure their far left, squad style group is also happy. But what happened? It did not work. This is from the Arab American Political Action Committee. They sent a statement that this year we face a choice of two candidates who are harming our communities here and our families and friends in our homelands. We simply cannot give our vote to either Democrat Kamala Harris or Republican Donald Trump, who blindly supports the criminal Israeli government led by far-right extremists, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And of course, this comes after also one of the squad. Let me find a... that one. Yeah, here we go. Democrat member of the squad, Rashida Tlaib, also called Benjamin Netanyahu a few weeks ago, a genocidal maniac who is burning people alive, bombing hospitals, starving people, killing aid workers. That is what's happening from that side. So you can't make that side happy by saying, hey, we're still going to support Israel. We're going to send troops. We're going to send supplies. It's another one of those situations where they try to have their cake and eat it too. But of course, we all know the good guys in this, but if for some reason they're having to try to kowtow to both, and this is what ends up happening. You have a situation where, look, I'm happy they didn't endorse Harris, but I'm not happy for the reason. I'm happy they didn't endorse Trump too, by the way. I don't necessarily want their support. If they're this aggressive, that's a ridiculous thing to ask for. But what I don't want is essentially hate for the Jewish people and hate for Israel to continue on like it's been happening all throughout the last 12 months. I mean, obviously it's been happening for millennia, but for the last 12 months more aggressively here in this country. I'm asking you to give us a call as we head into this next segment. Jeff Balaban is going to be joining us. We're going to discuss all that's going on in Israel, as well as how you can support and help us. We have phone lines open, four lines open right now, 1-800-684-3110. Still taking questions. If you want to tell me how you're going to be voting, whether you're going to be early voting, voting on election day, why, give me that information, why you've decided, or maybe you're voting absentee, maybe you're doing mail-in. I'd love to hear from you and your reasoning. That's at 1-800-684-3110. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to ask you to hit that thumbs up and throw in a comment as well. Love seeing all those clowns, and I love seeing where everyone's watching from all over the world, not even just the country. Pretty amazing. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back with more on Seculo. Welcome back to Secular. We are joined by Jeff Balaban from ACLJ Jerusalem. Jeff's on the phone. I'll just let you know if you're one of our viewers, you're like, hey, I usually like to see Jeff, but we're having some issues with Zoom and Skype today. So Jeff's on the phone today. So I just wanted to give you a heads up for that. Give us a call also. I'm sure you're going to be intrigued by this segment. 1-800-684-3110. A lot of news, Jeff, coming out of obviously our own world in terms of politics, where you have a situation where, of course, the squad members who have, you know, never held back against their dislike of the state of Israel and, of course, of Prime Minister Netanyahu. But you had Rashida Tlaib calling Prime Minister Netanyahu in a tweet yesterday, in an X post, if you will, a genocidal maniac who's burning Palestinians alive, bombing hospitals, starving people, and killing aid workers. When will our country stop funding the madness? When? This also comes from a moment where you have the Arab American PAC say, we're not endorsing either of the candidates because they're both pro-Israel. You know, when you have those kind of counterbalance statements, it is a troubling time, but I wanted to get your thoughts.
Right. I mean, I'm glad that Rashida Tlaib is modifying her rhetoric. That's really nice to hear. Look, the truth is, you think back 10 years ago, this kind of rhetoric would have been unimaginable, but we have lurched so far. So I want to say the real problem is that there are not a handful of genocidal, Jew-hating terrorist shills who are sitting members of Congress. The real problem is that they've been normalized and embraced as opposed to stigmatized and ostracized by the Democrats as a party. That they're bringing into our country waves of jihadi maniacs who are voting people like this into office, and that they feel so strong that rather than say, look, we've made gains here, they know, these maniacs, that the more anti-America, the more anti-Semitic they are, the more anti-Christian they are, the more direct they are about it, the more they refuse to play ball, the more the Democrats will kowtow to them. At some point, this has to stop because it's destroying our country. It's making it so dangerous.
We just got out of the Jewish High Holy Days, and I found it very fascinating. I was talking to some of my friends in Hollywood who typically post, you know, even the ones who are not Jewish, will post a, you know, celebrating Jewish New Year or Yom Kippur, or they'll post about this. They'll put up an Instagram post. And the ones that did this year told me they all had to, within seconds typically, shut off the comment section because it was inundated with people. Again, these weren't political posts. This wasn't a post about the war. This wasn't a post about Gaza. And that is where the anti-Semitic part of this becomes a little clearer. Because again, it had nothing to do with that. You could disagree with the war in Gaza, but that's not how it's portrayed. Because as soon as they say, you know, celebrating with my Jewish friends and family, all of a sudden, it's, you know, every comment is, you know, you're supporting genocide, free Palestine, flags, you know, watermelons. It seems like it's the continual thing. And people are running into these issues because they also don't want their families threatened.
That's right. Look, this we link together two terrible ideologies. We link together this Islamist, which is not all of Muslims, but this Islamist, you see there are Muslim countries who are making peace with Israel who actually are fighting these Islamists,
right?
Fighting the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, you see this Islamist ideology has joined force with woke ideology. And so now, you know, based on woke ideology, you are evil based on your identity or you are good based on your identity. So they've decided that all Jews must be evil and therefore to even be, which is perfect because Islamists want all Jews eradicated. They're very clear about it. So, you know, it's also important to note that when the left uses phrases like genocidal or violence, et cetera, they're always projecting what they actually want and actually are engaging in. So Rashida Tlaib, she wants a genocide of the Jews. Israel's doing, if Israel wanted a genocide, they could do it at any moment. It's easy. Israel's doing all it can, including sacrificing its own soldiers to minimize the non-combatant deaths as they always have. And yet, all of it is just ratcheting up, as you say. All of this now is not about Israel at all, and it never was. It is about Jew hatred, which has been with us for thousands and thousands of years. The Bible talks about it. It will always be there. Okay, but now, as it has happened in many empires and cultures before, it's becoming normalized, and that's what's so dangerous for our culture, for our country.
Yeah, it's being normalized in our country, and I'm seeing the comments come in, Jeff, and a lot of people are standing with Israel, support Israel, and they kind of want to know. I know you go back and forth still between the states and Israel as you run our offices in Israel. But there are a lot of comments coming in. People want to know even just the current state, because it isn't right now, obviously, our number one story in America. We're talking a lot about the election. It's what's there. But people are concerned for even the people, for the fact that the lack of tourism has, or tourism has been hurt. As we've seen, airlines, they open and close how many times, whether they're going to actually be taking people to Israel. What is the climate like there right now? Because the only time we see Israel on the news is when these rocket attacks seem to happen, which is on feels like continually, but when it's that sort of spectacle where hundreds are being fired in, is really the only time it gets the major attention.
It's very hard to describe the duality for those people who are asking that question, because I do get asked that question a lot. And it's very hard to describe the duality. At the same time, it is exhausting. It is traumatizing. It is a culture that is living with tremendous pain. And on top of that is the pain of seeing it being accused so evilly around the world. At the same time, there's an exhilarating truth to the unity and the love and the sense of clarity of mission in Israel that honestly the entire West would benefit from. And so it is in its own, I use a very Jewish concept. There's to light the lights in the temple, in the Holy Temple, that to be just the first drop of pressed oil, and that oil, the specialness of the pressure itself brings out light, brings out beauty. And that's what's happening here. The pressure on the Jewish people in Israel is bringing out a beauty and a love for the world, by the way. They don't hate the world. It's really amazing. They just believe that we'll get through this, and the world will see the truth, and they will want peace. And so there is a positive way, an internal movement there, all towards good and light and love, but they're enduring tremendous pain throughout. Both those things are coexisting.
Yeah, Jeff, before I let you go, I do want to give you a moment also to talk about why it's important that we are there. Why is it important that the ACLJ even founded and ACLJ Jerusalem, that it exists, that your team is there working on behalf of the American people and the ACLJ supporters? Because I think it's hard to put into words what our European office does, what all these places do, because we get a little stuck in our ways. But the ACLJ Jerusalem is very different, because it's not its own entity like the ECLJ or one of those where it's representing European values. I want to give you a minute to talk about that before we let you go.
Sure. You know, it's a great privilege. It really is a great privilege that, you know, I feel like my mission in life has found a real expression working on behalf of ACLJ, because ACLJ does, again, as you say, it's not the Israel Center for Law and Justice. It's the American Center on Law and Justice, the outpost in Jerusalem, in Israel. And so I am proud to represent, this American voice, the one that the media isn't really showing, to decision makers in Israel, to the public and the media in Israel, so that they understand that what they hear out of the media in America, and sometimes what they hear out of Washington, America, does not represent the true voice and heart of most Americans. Certainly does not represent the true voice and heart of believing Christians in America. And I am not. I'm a Jew. I'm a believing Jew. And they seek to understand the greatest source of support around the world for the Jewish state comes from Americans who believe in the Bible. And even Americans who aren't, strictly speaking, Christian, who still their morality is based on the Bible, because that is most America. And representing that in Israel to the media and represent their ideas, bringing it back to America, to Washington, to policymakers, is very important to be that honest and trusted go-between. Because otherwise, you know, it's lost in these terrible messages. So I think it's a great honor to work for ACLJ there, to be able to represent ACLJ's views and the American views in Israel. And I think it's a great honor to be able to bring it through this kind of program to a broader audience to know what's actually happening so that they hear the truth.
Thank you, Jeff, for joining us today. We always appreciate your insights. And again, pray for Jeff, pray for the ACLJ Israel office and their team in Jerusalem, because it is something that is very important, obviously, to our supporters. I'm seeing just incredible comments coming in. Comments on YouTube that warm your heart, because a lot of times, even on the right, we have seen a push. Now, thankfully, there's been a major pushback, and I am very thankful to see that, because there was a moment there, maybe a few months ago, where some of the commentators started to really push against supporting Israel. And frankly, I think that's just a horrible mistake. I think when you start separating yourself from your allies completely, and when you start siding with organizations that are there too, and governments that are really, they want your death and destruction, we'll make some big errors. So I'm thankful that we're there. I'm thankful Jeff is there and the ACLJ team, and I'm thankful for all the prayers. I'm seeing them come in on YouTube right now. And pray for the work of the ACLJ as well. I'm going to say that right now. Just pray for the work. Pray for the people that are involved. You just heard from Jeff Balaban earlier on. You heard from Ben Sisney, who just got out of court. And of course, our team here that's putting on the media side of the ACLJ each and every day, all into the night. So again, I'm going to encourage you to do that, is just to pray for our organization, pray for the people involved, pray for this group of people, because it is it can be heavy sometimes. There's going to be some heavy days, and we got some heavy weeks coming up. But we do have three lines open. I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. Polly and friend George, stay on hold. We'll get to you. And if you have a call or a question, either related to any of the topics or telling me how you're voting, go ahead and do that right now. Kind of the last chance to call in. We'll be right back with more on Secula. Welcome back to Secula. Last chance to get your calls in. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Pauline, who's calling in North Carolina. Been hold for half an hour, and I appreciate that, Pauline. You're on the air.
Okay. My question is, I have an absentee ballot, but I don't know if I need to go back to North Carolina, where we still don't have water and electricity. Yeah. But I don't feel safe about the mail-in ballot. I don't know why. I just don't feel safe about it.
Pauline, I think that is an understanding thing, and we know that absentee ballots are typically the last ones that are counted. North Carolina is a very important state. Now, look, I'm not going to encourage you to your safety. Truthfully, your safety, I believe, is more important than a presidential election. So if you can't get to where you need to go, send in your mail-in ballot. You send in your absentee ballot. That's why they exist. That's why they're there. If it's close enough, it will get counted. It will get counted later on either way. So, of course, there is the mail, whether the mail can make it. And there's always those things that people get theirs returned later on. Or you heard earlier the person who said their signatures didn't match. There's going to always be that concern. So Pauline, I can't tell you one way or the other. Obviously, you have the opportunity. I think for most people, if they have the opportunity to vote in person, vote in person, just because, again, you're seeing it physically. You're making that selection in person at a polling place. And a lot of times you are seeing that vote get registered. If you don't have that situation, Pauline, you're in North Carolina, I'm encourage you to do what's the easiest for you, what's the safest for you. So if you can vote in person, if not, send in that absentee ballot, because there are reasons why we have that, and this is one of those reasons. When the storms hit North Carolina, I thought about that. It wasn't the first thing on my list. It's maybe the 30th. I wonder what's going to happen now when we're so close to the election. So I know a lot of you are thinking that way as well. Let's continue on with George, who's an ACLJ champion. Again, if you're a supporter, if you're an ACLJ champion, I bump you up to the front of the line. George, you are on the air.
Thank you. I have both a challenge and an embarrassment for the Christian community in the United States. George Barnum just put out the results of a survey, and 86 million Christians did not vote. Yep. Now, if we had them vote two elections ago, by now this country would have already been turned around. It is an embarrassment to me as a Christian to think that 86 million Christians stayed home.
Yeah, I mean, look, George, it is not just and again, I appreciate your support and ACLJ champion. It's not even just a problem with Christians. Obviously, that's who we're talking to a lot of the time, so I understand that. But I'm sure we can pull up the number. The number of people that don't vote who can is pretty wild. And I'm sure we can get that data here quickly of how many people who either aren't registered or just decide not to vote. And sometimes it can be because of the way media portrays all of this. When you make everyone into the devil, Kamala Harris, Donald Trump. If everyone's the devil, there are people in the middle, or not even people who are not that politically involved, who go, I'm out. I'm not interested in having this conversation anymore. And it's unfortunate, but it's true. And I believe the rhetoric really has hurt that. Rhetoric has really changed the way we judge. And look, here's the number. In 2020, 80 million registered voters. Registered voters, 80 million, did not vote, according to our producer, Allie. I'm going to put it on her if she's wrong. According to that number, that's a wild number. But again, the disenfranchisement of America is also a big issue. Maybe the biggest issue. If you watch some of these debates, Are you real motivated to vote for someone? Maybe not. If you're not so politically motivated, if you don't understand the difference in the issues, and maybe you are focused on personality, maybe you look at both of those candidates and go, I don't feel like they represent my country. And it's really unfortunate that we're there. And that's why sometimes you got to look at policy over a person. You know, it used to be the other way around. You know, I vote for the person, not the party. Now I feel like you have to vote for the policy over the person. Because you know what's happening also when you start really going after people who run for president? When they start becoming, you know, imprisoned, or they start getting all of this hardcore hate against them and their family, the good people who want to run no longer want to do it. Why would they sacrifice their life and their families? So we got to get better at that. And if not, we're going to see the same situation happen over and over again. Let's go to Daryl, who's calling in Canada. Daryl, you're on the air.
Yes, indeed. I'm here.
You're on the air, Daryl.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Canada. You're in the they gave me no specification. I think the call was just like Canada is Canada. Go ahead, Daryl. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm in Toronto actually.
There you go. All right.
I just want to say very quickly, Trump Vance 2024. The policy is what I voted Democrat many times, but really, after the Rwanda situation is what changed my mind, but that far back during the Clinton administration. So, at any rate, I voted for Trump in 2016 and 2020.
Yeah, I mean, Daryl, I think this needs to be a reminder to people. I've seen a lot of my more liberal friends who talk about, you know, what if Trump wins? We're going to be in the war. We're going to be in World War III, and the world is going to come to an end. One, we won't. The world won't come to an end, by the way, whoever wins. Only God knows when that's going to happen. And I follow Jesus before I follow any political party. However, we do need to remember that there's been one president who didn't start a new war. There's been one president who had the closest thing to peace in the Middle East in my lifetime. And I get emotional talking about it because it was such a beautiful time. One that destroyed ISIS. And that was President Trump. But for some reason, they point to him as going to be the person who's going to create gigantic wars and everything like that. Did it feel that way? 4 years ago, 8 years ago? No, it did not. Do I like all the rhetoric that President Trump has? No, it's not my favorite. I don't like some of the way he talks. But you know what? I've gotten over a lot of that because I support specific things. Life, Israel. I don't want big wars. And I feel like a lot of people feel that way, like Daryl. They may have voted Democrat in the past, and now they've moved to the right. They've moved conservative. And again, you may be someone voting for Harris, and that's fine too. Do whatever you want to do. I'm not encouraging you to vote one way or the other. But if you support the work of the ACLJ, you support these issues. Obviously, there feels like there are candidates that lean more in support of the issues that we talk about here. Today, we've talked about life. We've talked about freedom of speech, the whistleblower situation. We've talked about Israel. I mean, they were naming, you know, train stations after President Trump because of you had the UAE celebrating Hanukkah for the first time. And I mean, there was a time, and it still may be like this, because it may have gone back to this, where if you had an Israeli stamp in your passport, you could not go to some of these countries. But now, because those Abraham Accords came in, all that started to change. So, you know, vote however you want to vote. Vote your conscience. And I encourage you to get out and vote. As we said, they mean millions of people. 67% of eligible voters cast a ballot. That's a huge chunk that do not. And motivate your friends. Tell them it's important. Tell yourself it's important. Because there are times where you can get disheartened. And I understand that. I've felt that way many a times. But go out there. Be a light. Do what you're supposed to do. And if you can, support the work of the ACLJ as we head into the end of this broadcast. I appreciate you joining me for the last hour. We'll be back tomorrow with more. If you can become an ACLJ champion, that's someone who gives on a monthly, again, recurring basis. We've seen, obviously, the government corruption. We have seen attacks on pro-life groups. And we're fighting back as much as we can. I mean, there were FBI spies in churches, and they were targeting parents, and the list goes on and on. And today we have a vital deadline because we were in court. You heard it. With FBI whistleblower Agent O'Boyle, who helped expose so much of this corruption and really sacrificed a lot and his family for that. Join the thousands of ACLJ champions today. Make a monthly recurring donation at aclj.org/champions. Talk to you tomorrow.